Du hast been in Deutschland.
Ja.
Ja. Ich habe gelesen einen Artikel in Sounds.
Oh, yeah.
You know Sounds Magazine?
I do, yeah.
And they had probably done several articles on you.
A couple. The European Sounds, not the English ones. Or
the one from Germany.
That's right, yeah. There's a Sounds in England as well.
Right.
Yeah. They've done a few bits, yeah. Germany is one of our old stomping grounds, you know. One of our old spots.
They like that heavy music over there.
What's that?
They like the very heavy music over there.
Yeah, they got a strong feeling for the blues things as well. And, uh-huh. and they've sort of, they're loyal to anybody who did the club scene there in sort of in the 60s. And, you know, we started, I don't know, when 65 I went over and 66 as well. And then right through the taste days, we went over to Hamburg and all the other cities. So they got, you know, they stick by us within reason, providing you're producing the music, you know.
Uh-huh.
So we were there, let me see, the springtime we were there. And we'll be going back again a couple of days of Christmas time, around Christmas.
How do you like playing over there?
So, oh, it's fine, it's great.
Audiences are receptive.
Very, very good, yeah. Audiences don't really vary that much anywhere in the world. They've got, you know, if you're lucky, but, you know, they've their own characteristics and things, you know. Mm-hmm. Like a slow hand clap in Denmark means you're going down great. Like, whereas a slow hand clap here is death, you know. Little things like that. And then in Japan, they're very, very polite during the numbers, and at the end, they let loose, you know.
You've been to Japan?
Yeah, we've been there twice, yeah. Japan. We were in Australia and New Zealand this year, too, for the first time. So we're globe-trotting.
How long have you been working musician?
What do we see? About 8 years, roughly, but I've been playing sort of as a semi-professional since I was, oh, I don't know, must be 12, 13 years.
Yeah.
I started playing like when I was 9, so I was...
Picked up a guitar?
Yeah, and I was doing sort of talent contests and sort of scout concerts and every kind of thing at the age of 10. I was playing in electric groups at the age of 12, and I was playing in a dance band at the age of 15.
Mm.
So I don't know, I used to dodge a lot of school, and so I was doing like playing with professional bands as well, you know, they wouldn't be working, but I'd still be going to school and getting 3 week bouts of flu and things like that. But
how did you pick up the guitar? I mean, made you start playing the guitar?
I don't know, as far back, even since I was 5 or 6, I was just the look of the guitar or something. I saw photographs of Roy Rogers and
uh-huh.
I heard Lonnie Donegan. He's a skiffle artist back in Europe. And Presley, all the obvious people. But Lonnie Donegan mainly, because he used to do Woody Guthrie stuff and Lead Belly songs, and, you know, it was very rhythmic and acoustic and all that. But then I went over to the Buddy Holly type guitar and Eddie Cochran. But I mean, as far back as I can go, I suppose at the age of 6 or 7, you know, once I knew what a guitar was and everything else, I just wanted to play it, you know. So, for better or for worse.
Who were the guitarists that you were listening to when you started playing?
The people I just mentioned, Eddie Cochran, Chuck Berry, mainly the rock people. I hadn't heard the blues people till later, sort of the Jimmy Reeds and the Tommy Tuckers and then the Muddy Waters and so on. They were the main, Buddy Holly, Chuck Berry, but most kids over there, they were the first two guitarists that you could sort of attempt to play like, you know. And but then sort of through the 60s then you get your hands on various records and which weren't too easy to get in Ireland, you know. You'd only get them if you were either on tour passing through London or if you're in Germany, and even then you mightn't be able to afford them, you know. But the radio was pretty good in Ireland, you know. They used to play a lot of lots of B-sides and odd things, you know. So
what kind of radio do you have in Ireland? Is that BBC?
Well, you can get BBC or Luxembourg, but they have their own national station,
uh-huh.
Radio Éireann, or RTE they call it. And that's so it's hard to explain. They've got everything. Live plays, which is a thing of the past over here. Sports, quiz programs, pop programs, bit of jazz, a lot of classical Irish traditional music. A real mix and gather 'em. And they have a couple of pop programs that are, so they've got sponsors for them, but it's mainly just a plain national station, you know. But everyone listens to that, and BBC, and the pirate stations when they were going, Caroline, and did you hear about those?
Yeah,
Caroline, the rest of them. So, but most of the sort of rock and pop music that they'd play on BBC would end up in Ireland. But being slightly looser in format, they'd squeeze in a couple of Fats Domino tracks at the drop of a hat, you know, and they were all rock and roll fans there, you know. At least the young guys, anyway, were picking and choosing the music.
What was the first band you got together that you were able to play what you really wanted to?
Let me see. Well, I had a three-piece for a couple of weeks in Germany. They were sort of the tail end of the show band. The show band split up. It was a band called the Impact Show Band. Uh-huh. That was a dance band. We used to do everything from country and western to rock and roll to every kind of thing. So I did that between the ages of 15 and 17, and then I got fed up because just when you'd be enjoying the set, you'd have to change the style to suit the dancers and all this. So I had a three-piece for a couple of weeks. So that was about the first chance I had really to stretch out and do it. You know, it was mainly Chuck Berry-type material we were doing then, at 65, which suited Hamburg, of course. So then the group didn't have a name. There was a band booked in a club in Hamburg called the Fender Men, and they didn't turn up, so we turned up for the gig. So we had to sort of pretend we were called the Fender Men, but we weren't. It was another group. And we were supposed to be a four-piece. We got a photograph taken with a fictitious organist, a friend of ours, who couldn't. He was tone deaf, but he just stood and looked like he was... we got there and we said he got sick and he got his appendix out or something and he'd be over by the weekend. Because in those days, a three-piece group was just an on-event. They thought a three-piece group was just a rhythm section. You know, they didn't think it could work. A four-piece, yes, but... because the only three pieces around at that time was a group called the Big Three from Liverpool, a really great three-piece. And there was a four-piece group called Johnny Kidd and the Pirates. And they were four-piece, but like three instruments, you know. And then, of course, Hendrix and the Cream came along, so it was all acceptable after that. So that lasted a few weeks. I went back to Ireland then, spent a couple of months around Christmas of 66, or leading into 66, and then I started Taste with a couple of guys from a group called the Axels in Cork. And that was February, March. We played all over Ireland, went back to Germany again, the middle of 66, and really sort of got it musically organized there because playing 7 hours a night and all that sort of thing. So then we went back to Ireland, tried to get some gigs in London, back and forth. Then we moved our base from Cork, which is in the south of Ireland, to Belfast in the north, and worked out of there because there's a better club scene and we got a manager. And eventually we got a couple of audition gigs in London at the Marquee, and we went across to do those, and interest began to build up, and we decided we'd move over in May of 68, and we had a contract by October, and then we did the first album. Well, the lineup changed that summer, and then we did the first album, I think it was November of 68, and we just sort of stayed there then, but still kept going back to Ireland occasionally, you know.
So
there's my potted history. Pardon?
Were two albums out with Taste?
Two studio albums, yeah. Mm-hmm. They released two live albums after the band had split up, but I don't regard them as official albums. They're just live tapes that somebody found, and, you know. It's a pity we didn't... We should have done a genuine live album because it was a very exciting band live, you know. But the two live ones that came out were like the last two gigs we did. And naturally the band wasn't exactly in its best mood, you know. But still, they're interesting to listen to. So we did two albums anyway. One was called Taste, the second was On the Boards.
Right. So we used to play that a lot.
Yeah?
Back in 69, 70.
Which one, On the Boards?
Yeah.
Yeah. I still like that one myself. We had a good time making that. good atmosphere during it, you know.
A bit of jazz influence in your music.
Fair bit. It creeps, comes in and goes out. At that particular time, I was listening to more jazz than blues even, which is, like, it's hard to visualize now, but I was very interested in Ornette Coleman and Pharoah Sanders, saxophone players, not jazz guitar so much. But, if you know, it's, you pick a bit of the old jazz feel, let's put it that way, from playing with a show band, because it's, saxophones are the big thing in the show bands, and brass arrangements and things. So you'd learn a very kind of a faint taste of jazz from it. Then I got really interested in it, and it's always crept in. But I never went totally over to jazz, you know, it gets to most musicians eventually, though, at some stage, and it's good for the music, you know.
Who's in the band with you now?
Same three guys for the last 3.5 years. A fella called Rod Diaz on the drums, Lou Martin on the keyboards, and the bass player, Jerry McAvoy. He's been in all the albums I've done. So it's pretty permanent now at this point, you know.
How did you happen to switch from Polydor over to Chrysalis?
Let's make a deal. Let me see. I've filled out the commitment. I made the 6 albums for them, and next time, you know, I wanted to change a company, you know, and an energetic young company that had the right type of interest and so on, and Chrysalis looked like the best bet, and because they started in England, and the guys who started the company were kind of aware of me for years, because they used to promote university gigs and things in the north of England. And that's a plus factor, because they know where I came from and they know what I'm like, as opposed to, say, a company, and you meet the guy and he's never met you before in his life and so on. You know. Besides, they've got they've only got a small stable of artists, and they concentrate on them as opposed to having too many, you know. But so we'll see what happens.
What's happening in the Irish music scene these days?
Well, the big noise is a traditional group called the Chieftains. They play classical Irish traditional music, as opposed to, say, the Clancy Brothers type of Irish music. And there's a group called Thin Lizzy. They had a hit with they're beginning to make a couple of waves again. They cooled down after they had that hit, Whiskey in the Jar. But the internal scene in Ireland is a bit dead in the north, because, which was always a great city for music, I mean, Belfast and Derry, but now with the Troubles, it's pretty well, I don't know, fellas do gigs, but there's no real organisation there. Down south, there's a fair bit of activity in Dublin and over the country, and the groups now are kind of the norm, instead of, like, having to have 8 guys in a dance band or anything. Groups, you know, groups are becoming quite accepted in Ireland, because the show bands were the cornerstone of Irish music for years, you know, because, you know, Irish people like to dance and they like to hear a variety of music, you know. But the young people sort of coming up in the 60s and 70s, they want to hear groups and rock and blues and what have you, you know. So it's reasonably healthy, yeah. Oh, there's another group called Horselips. They're beginning to, I don't know, they've gone to a certain stage over the last few years. They've mixed Irish traditional music and rock.
I mean,
have you heard them?
Sure, they have.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 or 3 albums by now.
You must have, they, yeah. Sorry to Me, Happy to Part, Sorry to Me. What else? They'd, I think it's the 4th one they've got out now, yeah.
They're very good.
Yeah, interesting, yeah. There's plenty happening, I mean, and it's also possible for a group to live in Ireland now, and record in Dublin, base themselves out of there, which you couldn't do before, because you couldn't get enough work all year round as a group. But ultimately, you've got to go to London, which is the music centre, I mean, of that part of the world, you know, which is kind of hard for Irish people, but nevertheless. So there.
Did you ever study the blues?
Study it?
Yeah.
Depends on what that word means, you know. Study it, sort of catalogue numbers and note for note, and if the guy had a cold in the morning of the record or that sort of thing. I don't believe in that kind of thing too much. No, I mean, I probably know a hefty lot of knowledge about the different artists and certain records and so on and so forth, and the whys and the wherefores. But I don't try and diagnose it to see why should I be able to sing the blues, and where did it come from, and you know, you read that out of books, but it's the feeling. If you know, either you get the feeling for it and the conviction to be able to do it, play it or not, and that's the way I look upon it. But you get a lot of guys and they say, the only records I like are the ones Muddy Waters did before he bought the electric guitar, and Chuck Berry, I mean, you can't listen to him, he's totally sold out on the blues, and I believe in, in the purest blues, fair enough, but I also believe, if you can do something new and it leads you to something else, that's fine, and it's a shame to just, only listen to blues and not listen to anything else. That's terrible. Because I don't think guys really like blues then. It's just a kind of a thing that they get into, like librarians, and they say, this is my music, and I can be more pure than the guy next door. I know all the facts, and, there was a different B-side on Bo Carter's fifth record, recorded on June the 5th, and he had a elastoplast in his left hand because he cut it on barbed wire the previous night. And they go crazy on these facts, I don't know. Do you ever meet these guys now? Yeah. You see a lot. In England, you get them.
You do much jamming?
A fair bit.
Other musicians?
Yeah, a fair bit, yeah. Not as much as I'd like to, There's not that much of a jamming scene in England anymore. There was at one time. But it's beginning to come back in again with the pub rock scene. Yeah.
It's one thing about the blues that people never play together can get together and jam very easily. Because of the basic structure.
Oh, it's the easiest one to get. And it's also a little more inventive than playing rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love rock and roll, but playing it all night, the emotional content isn't as wide as the blues thing. And the blues thing, you can sneak off into little jazz things, or you can sneak into the folky side of blues. Or what I love doing now is using sort of Celtic tunings and doing blues on that. It's Celtic jazz. That can be kind of interesting,
How much time do you spend between electric and acoustic?
Well, on stage, if we do a two-hour show, I do about 2 to 3 acoustic numbers. Off stage, I don't know. Off stage, about 50-50.
Yeah.
I play a lot of acoustic off stage. Because then, you're playing on hard strings, and by the time you get on the electric guitar, then it's just like playing Jello, it's so easy. But the characters, they're two different instruments, really, I think.
Sure.
And, people say any electric guitar player can play acoustic and vice versa. They can, but it's just like slide guitar isn't only just sliding up the 12th fret and that's it, They're almost different instruments, particularly if you get into tunings and different finger pickings and things like that,
Okay. That was short.
Anything else you want?
Anyway.
Are you sure?
You'll be coming back through town?
Oh, we'll be back. We were scheduled to do a concert here. When? First of all, it was a couple of weeks ago. Then it was during this tour, but it looks like it might be the January tour. We're doing two tours,
Mm-hmm.
Both sides of Christmas. And the reason why we didn't do the first Chicago date is that the album wasn't going to be out until November 1. We thought it would be earlier. And be a pity to do a gig without a new album after so long, So there we are. So it's called Against the Grain, the Migraine, if you want to call it that. I've rechristened it, no matter what anyone says.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, cheers.